Okay, wonderful, beautiful, sweet, kind people of the artsy fartsy community. It's been a while, and I know that. I know that, but you know why it's been like that too, don't you? You know that because I've been on the Prince of Germany 2025 stand-up comedy tour. Now listen, there is a lot of stuff to get into. In fact, it is so much stuff that I'm going to do a two-parter episode. This is the funny thing about this episode. This is something I've never done before. This was the episode you're about to listen to right now is an episode that I believe the last time that I modified it was October 23rd, which was before Halloween, but in between my tour. So I'm going to just intro this episode, which is a little older, but it's because it shares feelings and stories and insights that I wanted to share in the moment while I was doing the tour. It's kind of a funny thing. I was, you know, in the middle of the tour. It started on the 12th. There was Frankfurt, Cologne, Hamburg, Berlin. And then I was about to go to Vienna, and I think that was the breaking. I did go to Vienna, I think. I'm not sure. I haven't listened to the recording in a while, obviously. But I don't want to lose this episode. I want you guys to be a part of the entire journey. So specifically to my mom and Moritz, the only people that I know genuinely listen to this on a weekly basis. But that aside, this is an the episode you're about to hear is a little older. But I am also going to record the updated story podcast, the journey of the tour, and then release that maybe even just the day after or something. So you guys will get two long episodes this week. That's my goal. I would really like to make sure that you guys can do that because it's been a long, long time. And now that things are getting back into like a standard routine, well, there's just no excuse, is there, to not, you know, give my wonderful fans something to listen to. I'm talking about you, Mom. No, but this episode, I skimmed through it just to be sure that, you know, that's it's worth posting. It's a good solid hour. So, you know, if you're driving or just, you know, hanging around at the house and you want to listen to some of the early stories, it does cover, I believe, through Berlin, if not also to Vienna, which are some very funny stories, this journey through, the first shows of this tour. It was really, there's a lot to talk about. It's really exciting and funny and weird also. You're going to hear about the weirdest things. And then I will then record an additional episode probably right now because I'm just doing the intro for this episode right now fresh. Either I'm going to do it right now or first thing in the morning. And then you will have another episode. Hopefully, yeah. I'm not going to release both at the same time because it can be confusing, but I would, post it as a part one of two for the Prince of Germany stand-up tour. But yeah, you know, without further ado, there's a lot of funny things to get into, a lot of exciting stories and just why it's really like now that I'm reliving some of the things in my head, it's really cool. Just as a side note, if you weren't able to get a ticket for the tour this year, please make sure you follow me on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or wherever you like to engage with social media because I will have another tour next year and I will be posting fresh content again, new videos, new stories, new jokes, new ideas. What I want to think about. Oh, and the book, of course. The Prince of Germany book, which is both in English and in German, is out now. Link in my bio. It ships internationally, and you can get it now. So if you haven't got it, go get it. This is the podcast from a couple of weeks ago, and you will hear part two later on. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys, and let's rock and roll.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Thursday, Thursday Immigrants. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Thursday, Thursday Immigrants. Yeah.
Let's get into it. Ladies, germs, rascals, pirates, and tax fraud criminals out there. Welcome back to a brand new and very, very long overdue episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Let me just fix my chair. It is a chair that I used to like quite a lot, and it sinks constantly, which makes me feel two things. One, oh, I need a new chair. This chair sucks. The other thing is, I've gotten so fat the chair cannot hold my weight any longer! Anyway, guys, hey, we are on fire today because I have not done an episode in God knows how long. I'm not going to look it up. I'm not going to bore you with it, but let's hop right into it because, you know, the thing is, it is a very special week this week because I am halfway through my 2025 Prince of Germany stand-up comedy tour. And we are doing good, man. I want to tell you guys about it. I want to tell you how it's been going. Some of the crazy stories, some of the adventure thus far, which is mostly me in my underwear in a hotel playing my PlayStation until far later into the evening than I should be doing because I should be getting good night's sleep. But I am really bad about that. But let's take a look here. So I started on, let me see what the first day was of this tour. I think that was the 17th was Berlin. I'm so bad about this because right now I'm looking at the tour dates on the ticket site, but let me just pull it up from the image because the tour site updates constantly and they delete the shows that have, oh my God. Okay. The first one was the 12th. Okay. Let's jump into it. Right out of the gate, though, guys, let me just say, for those who live in or around Vienna, I am performing. Well, I will have performed by the time this comes out, but October 21st. So this is actually kind of dumb to say on this podcast because it will have already happened. Let me see when this comes out, if there's a show on that day. Yes, the day that this episode releases, the 23rd of October, I am going to be in Innsbruck at the Maria Theresia venue. No opener for that show, but look, I will be there and you should go. So, you know, great advertisement, right? Classic Jordan. What a good marketing strategist. Why don't you just go work for JP Morgan, my bud? So by the time this comes out, I will have already done Vienna, and I can already tell you it went swimmingly well. Vienna with my special guest, Kyle van Carven, which is a name so confusing in terms of all the different nationalities that I could just throw. Guessing Kyle, and I'm, by the way, he's a comic and he would love this, but like the amount of different names or nationalities in that name for me to guess, it's like being blindfolded, taking water balloons of paint of which color you do not know and throwing it against a wall and going, did I do the Mona Lisa? Did I basically make a Starry Night from Van Gogh? Let me just take a quick glance. His name is Kyle, which I, for far too long, thought was a nickname, like a joke name, a stage name called Chow. And now that I'm looking at it, it's not spelled that way at all. His name is C-A-I-O, and then Van, V-A-N, and then Carven with two A's. Like he be carving his own path into weird name territory. But I have talked about him before. He's actually a really funny guy. He's doing online content. He makes really interesting comic books, kind of, in a way. Like, people who have ever been interested in The Far Side, it's almost like that, where it's a collection of just one-off stories, one-off characters, but a collection of them. He has, like, his own book and stuff. And he made some t-shirts, which I have hanging here in my studio. When my parents visited, they were they saw them. They're still hanging up here. I'm not going to describe what a t-shirt looks like, because that's not fun. But anyway, go check out his stuff. It's C-A-I-O. So I asked him one time how what name he would like to be announced under, because I wasn't sure if this was a performer's name. I mean, just straight up. I was just like, I've never heard this name. Is this a performer's name? And he was like, no, that's the name you can do. You can also just say Carven with two A's, and then like C-A-A-R-V-E-N. And then I asked him, because I was reading this, it's like, as if I'm dyslexic, I was reading it over and over as Chow. For 2 years, I've been following this guy, and I've been saying Chow Van Carven, but it's C-A-I-O. I found out he's Brazilian. Or Portuguese. Well, you know, they speak the same language, but it's just, they sound different. I don't know if he's from Portugal or Brazil. I think he's Brazil. I hope he's not listening to this, because I feel so bad. I cannot remember right now. But you know what? I forgive myself, because I have been going through the ringer on this big old tour. And that's why you can tell that I sound so absolutely psychotic, because, my brain just can't sit still throughout all of this. I have a lot of things to go through. Anyway, Vienna at the Fluck, F-L-U-C-C, will have just happened. And as of this recording, the ticket sales are quite good. So I'm very happy with that. And it's he told me how to pronounce his name, which looks like Chow, but it's with the A first. I've said that 1,000 times already. And he told me it sounds like Kyle, like K-Y-L-E. And then I got it. I was like, oh, Kyle. Kyle Van Carven. So anyway, check out his stuff. Great, great comedy, like cartoon strips, and great funny t-shirts. And I think probably also by the time you hear this, we will have posted some content together, because we do plan to meet to make some content. And very nice guy. So, and then to continue, my God, Innsbruck is of the release day of this episode, the 23rd. At the Maria Theresia. Then, for those who have not bought their tickets yet for the Munich shows, let me just make a big reminder here that the Munich shows, please send this link in the show notes to anyone and everyone around the Munich area. Not that the ticket sales aren't good, but just because if you think they might like it or want to be in the audience for the official recording of the special, make sure they know, because it's about to be gone. The early show is long since, like, completely sold out. No chance, even for guest list. It's really, like, intense. Ugh, excuse me. So that's good news. I've talked about it a lot. So the 25th, Munich at the Werk 7, the Work 7 Theater, on Saturday, October 5th. There is an early show, 5:30. And completely packed, sold out. That's great. Then later is the 9:30 p.m., same day, same venue. And that one is almost completely sold out. And if you guys listening to this, or you have friends who you think might would enjoy being a part of the official recording of the special that I'm going to release on YouTube, like the previous special that I recorded last year in Munich, make sure to send that around or tell your friends, because that will be sold out soon, and I'm really excited about that. And shout out to my opener for Munich. It's a comedian from India, and his opening set will be about 10 minutes long, and he does it in English, and his name is Akash Pandey. I have to double check with him if it's Pandey or Pandey. Pandey. I mean, American style, I would say like a Cash Pandey. Like I have a cigar. Like I'm Tommy Lee Jones in No Country. Well,
I like that. My name's Cash Bandy.
But he, terrible impression. But he is a very funny comic, and I was noticing a lot of his posts of his stand-up, and I liked his style of humor. So he will be the opening act for both the early show and the late show, and he's going to do about 10 minutes, and then I will come out, and we are filming both performances. We are going to film the 5:30 and the 9:30 on the same day, and then edit a special for YouTube. So if you cannot make this tour, then you can also watch it probably in a few months. I don't have a release date in mind yet. Then, okay, after that, final show will be October 27, the final show of the Prince of Germany tour. We'll be in Zurich, the capital of tax evasion billionaires who have sent their money abroad into Swiss bank accounts, where people all own guns and all have joined the military. And there's a great Johnny Harris YouTube video. He's a great journalist who has taught, who really showcased, like, they have bunkers in the mountains and stuff. Like, they have, like, hundreds and hundreds of kilometers of, like, tunnels and underground bunkers in the mountains. That's off topic, but it's really crazy. It's a really crazy video. And he's a really smart journalist, so worth checking out. Anyway, yeah, Zurich at the, let me put it back in German so I can pronounce the venues properly. Yeah, Vienna, Fluck, F-L-U-C-C, 21st, but that's already gone. 23rd, the day of this release, at the Maria Theresia. Maria Theresia, on the 23rd, yes, in Innsbruck, and then Munich, double show, 5:30, sold out. There's some tickets for the 9:30, opening act is Akash Pandey at the Werk 7, the Work 7, and then in Zurich, at the Papiersaal, the paper room, which sounds like someone just put together, like, a small stage with the cheapest materials ever. But anyway, okay, so that is out of the way. All right, so we're 12 minutes in, and I've just been doing intros. I'm sorry, but I have not done a recording in a while, and I'm having a lot of fun, actually, and there's a lot of things to talk about. So let's get into it, right? Let's talk about the tour so far, thus far, and how it has been going. And so the very first show of the tour was in Frankfurt, at the Jahrhunderthalle. I'm going to stop translating venue names, because it's like trying to translate, like, someone's name being like Jeff. It's just like, why? It doesn't matter. It's just the name of the venue. So in Frankfurt on the 12th, we started the tour at the Jahrhunderthalle, and man alive, talk about getting your hopes up. Talk about the luckiest way to start a tour in the world, and then realizing that you need to tell yourself that not every show is going to be like this. Like, it was so good that I thought, oh my God, this is too good to be true. It's too great. It's too perfect. And I need to remind myself that it's like, this is not how most things work. It was too good. It was too good. Frankfurt was, I'm surprised it wasn't sold out just from looking at the audience. Frankfurt was interesting, but only for one special thing at the very end, which if you've seen my Instagram story, then you're going to know this thing already. But just to get into it a little bit more, I arrived at the venue. It was a smaller club room that was connected to a huge venue. Basically, imagine you're going to, like, some sort of, like, smaller arena style venue, but then connected to it is, like, clubs that are, I mean, you know, not too small. I think it was like 400 people or something, but still, you know, it's like you're looking at this enormous location, and then you can go through this hallway, and then you get to the smaller clubs under the same umbrella of this location. So Frankfurt was really, really cool.
really such a cool city, a great place to start. I checked in my hotel, and then I worked out that I should get to the venue. I think the sound check is usually around like 5:30 or so, and then which takes for me as a solo microphone using person, it takes about 3 minutes. But a big goal for me, not just on this tour, but generally like whenever I'm doing comedy shows, is I don't want anybody waiting on me. Because a big thing for me is that people, the team that I'm working with, everyone from like the person setting out chairs to the person who owns the venue, I make a big effort to like shake everybody's hand, try and memorize their names. It's a lot of people that I meet in these windows, but I want everyone to know that like I really appreciate their time, and that if they have, since they're working and I'm just doing this one show, but nothing before and nothing after, that if there's anything they need from me, to specify that immediately, to not feel that they have to wait around and like, you know, say, oh no, man, you can go to your backstage, take your time, then maybe later we can bring you out for this. No, I go in, I shake everybody's hand. I like to try and remember everybody's name, but it's tough. And then just immediately, I mean, especially the sound people, like the sound designers, men or women, like just to go in and say, look, you know, if you're ready now for a sound check to get anything you need from me out of the way, I'm here now. I can put my bag on the stage. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything else. I just want to make sure that you feel good about what you need from me. And then when you're set, then I can go relax. But I don't want to like, I don't want you to, I can't chill. It's not even like, oh my God, Jordan, you're just being so nice. I cannot relax if I know that there's something someone will need from me and they're too shy to ask because they need to have something done before the show. So I just, especially on this tour, I've just been storming in being like, hello, oh, so nice to meet you. Hey, thanks so much for being here. Like fist bumping, like the janitors, like just going in, hi, oh, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Thanks for being here. And then when I meet the sound person, just immediately asking like, what do you need? Are you ready for a sound check? Would you want to do that now? I can do that now. And Frankfurt was such a wonderful, beautiful team. Cool venue. We, you know, came in, we kind of talked together about the arrangement of the lighting setup. And I've been making a playlist for the songs that play as people come in from the doors to get their seats, so that it's like a nice atmosphere. There's a bar, you know, so on and so forth. Like I was saying before, or as I've said before, every show on this tour is seated, sadly, except Austria and Switzerland. That was kind of tough because it's really hard to like get these venues on the scale that I'm at currently. So sorry, Austria and Switzerland, this is still a standing thing, but I'm going to try and make it worth your time. But Munich, of course, is seated. It's a really nice venue. Anyway, so Frankfurt was really cool. Great team. Here's the crazy story, right? So after every single show I do, from the first comedy special or the first comedy show that I did, January 2024, I haven't posted it, but I've posted clips. From that very first one, I will always, and have no intention of changing this, but I will always do a meet and greet with people that bought tickets, you know? So I finish the show, and I tell everybody that I'm going to go, you know, back. Yeah, thank you so much for coming. If you have to go home, I understand. I think it was a Sunday. If you have to go home, I'm just so deeply grateful that you were there and, you know, get home safe and thank you for being here. But if you want to stick around, I'm going to go backstage and have some water, you know, and pee or whatever. And then I'm going to come back out. And then because of the book,
We have like an affiliate from every city on the tour at a local bookstore who carries my book, showing up with a certain amount of books and selling them. And I was like, I'm gonna come back out in like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and I'll be by the book people, and we can you know, take a photo or shake hands or, you know, just chit chat for a sec. So I come back out, and then the Frankfurt line is pretty long. I have to say, Frankfurt line is pretty long, and it's really nice people for the most part. And I'm going through it's very tough for me to like hustle people on. I borderline wish that someone would stand there next to me to be like, "All right, time's up," because I'm too nice and I can't do that. You know, someone could be like, "Let me tell you about where I grew up. Let me tell you. When I was 5 years old, my father took us to a carnival in Sri Lanka." You know, entertainment. And then, it's sounding like I'm making fun of the kind people that come to my show. I'm not. But it's just like, they could tell me literally anything. They could show me their high school... They could show me their report cards from high school, and I would sit there going, "Oh, no way, a B+ in advanced calculus? You're a genius." Like, I would never push anybody away. I'm getting a little better at, like, when there's just the smallest pause. Like, sometimes people show up and you can read immediately that there's something they want to say, but the people who show up and they're not really sure what to say, they're almost hoping that I guide them. I can read that, thankfully. So sometimes they're just like, "Yeah, well, I'm from Maryland, and my husband here, he's from Cairo." And then I can be like, "Oh, that's great. Oh, that's so nice. And you guys live here?" "Yeah, for work." And then I can go like, "You guys want to take a picture?" And then it just flows, you know? But it's a lot of people. So we're really going through all the very kind people that bought books, and I'm signing books and taking photos and everything. It's really nice. So I'm getting towards the end of the line, and at the very, very end of the line, there is an interesting collection of people. There's an interesting group. I should just put it that way. The group is... I'm just reliving it now, and it's so insane because I made an Instagram story about this, but... Excuse me. The group is a collection of four people. It's four people, and they do not seem to fit together at all. They wait till the very, 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 very end. And as they approach, behind them are the security guards, and they are like full on elbow leaning on a nearby table. You can tell, man, I don't think people expected that there'd be a big meet and greet. I feel bad that the staff maybe has to stay longer than they wanted to. So I'm going to, I tell them, "Hey guys, thank you so much for waiting around so long. Oh my God, you're the last in line. I really appreciate that you stuck it out," expecting like a book signing or a photo or just a quick thing. And then I look past them at the guards and I go, "Hey guys, this is the last group. Thanks so much for working so hard, men. Like, you know, thanks boys, whatever." I just try to make everyone just that they understand I'm not like, ignoring that they're putting time in, you know? So then the group is easily a woman in her, I would say, she is a woman with very intense red hair who is easily 50, 47, 48. The only weird thing is that she's with three, so she's a white lady with like fire red hair, touching 50. Around her, three boys, maybe 19, all different nationalities, and they ain't white, but that sounds really disgusting. I was just gonna say, they are all different nationalities of some sort of beautiful brown, right? So the thing is not about that. The thing is, my instinct was, oh, this is their mom. Maybe they're all like mixed race kids who found me on TikTok or something and asked their mom to bring them.
18, 19, right? So, and then I thought, oh, you know what this might be? Okay, because the way they interacted with each other was a bit strange. I was like, you know what this might be? This might be like the caretaker of like a youth hostel, or like not an orphanage, but like, you know, I felt that this is like a youth, what do you call it? Oh my God, it does not matter. A place where they take care of young people. And this might be like someone who, like the principal or a teacher or someone who's in charge of it. And they had seen my stuff online and they maybe asked if they could go. So, a social worker. Social worker! That's what I was thinking of. I thought maybe it's a social worker and this is like three, you know, older teens in her like youth, you know, group, a youth house that they can't, you know, whatever. So all of that went immediately out the window when the first and only words out of her mouth, as the three young boys kept their hoodies on and their hands in their pockets, making very strange glances at each other, was this, you know, when this 50-year-old red-haired, white-skinned lady leaned into me and was like, "You want a party? Do you like to party? You want a party?" Weird. What is that constellation? What is that constellation? What is that group? What is that group now? I do not understand anything now. She's there with three teenagers, and they don't talk. It's almost like they're bodyguards. They're like giggling and smirking at each other, and I don't feel safe. That's weird. That's weird as hell. I mean, what? Look, I'm not a crazy party animal kind of guy. I've grown up. I've also never really been like a crazy party guy. But, you know, if just the three young dudes had popped up and been like, "Hey man, love the show. You want to get high?" I would have felt so comfortable being like, "Dude, that's so nice of you to ask. Thanks for coming to the show. Not really my thing, but thanks for asking. Do you guys want to take a picture?" The fact that she like spoke for them and did one of those double over the shoulder looks to make sure the security guards didn't hear her. Ew. Weird. Now I think she's a trafficker. And then I thought that was such an unrealistic thing for her to ask. I thought that there's no way I heard that. So I went like, "Yeah, right." Anyway, yeah, guys. And I had no idea that I don't even know if they had or had not seen the show. In full honesty, I do not know if they saw the show. And I made the joke, I laughed, you know, like, "Ha ha ha, okay, where's the offer for like signing a book or a photo here? I'm alone, I'm kind of alone in this giant room with these three people or four people." And then she leaned in again and was like, "No, but for real," she was like, "Look," she was doing the over the shoulder looks, which is not a good look. And then she was like, "You want to get high?" And I was like, "No, I don't, grandmother from the movie Weapons that just came out. Like, no, I don't want to get my soul snatched by a magic witch tree that will turn me into a zombie. I don't want to be stabbing my face with forks, lady." If you've seen the movie Weapons, you get that. But like, oh my God, that was so weird. That was so weird. And it made me so uncomfortable that I had trouble saying, "No, no thanks. Appreciate it. Got an early train in the morning," because I'm too nice and that's my curse. So I was like, "I don't know. Yeah, I will see, you know, maybe. What are you guys thinking? What are you guys going to go do?" And then she, again, three 19-year-old boys of different nationalities not talking. That's so creepy. And then she's leaning in closer to me and then she's just like, "Yeah, well, we're going to wait outside for you." And I was like, sounds great. All right, can't wait. Be there on the double. So they go outside, and then I immediately ran over to the woman in charge of the venue, and I was like, I'm uncomfortable. She was like the same age as the other lady, but like, you know, normal and kind and sweet. And then there was a couple of people, probably like 25, working for her, a girl and a guy. And I told them, I was like, did you guys see that last group? They were like, yeah, that was weird, right? And I was like, yes, that was so weird. And I was like, they asked me to, they're waiting for me outside. They like, I don't know if they're going to like give me a roofie or like, I don't know, steal my passport or something. Like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, it's not one of those things where someone your age goes like, hey man, you want to share a joint? Which you can comfortably say, no, I'm good, man. I'm all right. You know, it was just like this weird thing of, oh, I'm being cornered now. And I did not like that feeling. And they were so cool. And they basically told the security guards to just go outside and tell these people that they can't wait in the parking lot. They're like, yeah, you can't wait here. So they shuffled off like down the street. And then the woman in charge of the venue drove me to my hotel. How nice is that? That was so sweet, right? So Frankfurt was a great show, a great show. And then that weird moment, and then it ended really nice. So I'm thankful for that. Yeah, I think, man, I wish I could do longer episodes right now. But Cologne was also very, very, very fun. Great crowd, beautiful venue, a venue called the Gloria. Gorgeous, beautiful lights, great sound, great team. Just wonderful sound designer, wonderful venue runner, like, you know, people, the promoters, just not a single bad soul in sight. And then Hamburg, really, really fun also. Beautiful venue again, like just, you know, auburn lights with like a blue, deep blue skylight of like the autumn moon rising. And I was worried mostly about Hamburg being a tougher crowd just because it's, you know, kind of almost famously known in the north of like being kind of a tough crowd. But it was just a really fun time. Like, you know, there's maybe like a 10-15 minute warm up period, but then it was just so great. Such sweet, kind people. And then, then after that was Berlin, which was really interesting. I think, you know, the Berlin staff again was, you know, very kind people, and it was a sold out show, completely packed out show. And I had some friends who arrived, and I think I did well. And I think my opener, Ludwig Beneke, I think he did very well. He's really funny. But after the show, we talked a bit, and we were like, man, that was kind of a tough crowd to break through with. And I think it was, I mean, you know, I think it was just like a venue choice. I don't think, like, there's nothing wrong with what anybody necessarily did. My only complaint about, like, what maybe the staff could have done better is there was the sound person who didn't quite get the concept of when no one is on or around the stage, music should always be playing so that people feel free to talk loudly, catch up with their friends, get a beer, go to the bathroom. But, you know, if you're sitting in like a seated theater area and there's no music, then you're like, you're really nervous to talk. You don't want to like bother anybody. And you think, oh, maybe something's starting now. And it was pretty bad where I had to like kind of convince them, please play this playlist I've made. And then before my opener was about to go on stage, the music was already stopped way before I gave any sort of signal. And I was like, oh, crap, we have to start now. How long have they been waiting in silence? That's so weird, you know? And then I brought up my opener. Oh, side note, funny story. I'm in the hallway in Berlin, and this, you know, pretty Asian woman, maybe like late 20s, mid 20s, comes by, and she looks at me, and she had bought a ticket for my show. So I thought, oh, she did a double take at me because maybe she's not used to seeing the main performer, you know, before showtime. Because I wanted to introduce my opener. And she's like, hey. And then I thought, oh, she's going to say something like, what are you doing out here? Or, hey, I'm so excited for your show. And I was like, oh, hi. And she goes, you're a lot fatter in real life than you look in your videos. And then like 30 people in this hallway all went, what? Like, as if I don't know that. Like, I know I've gained weight, but like, Jesus Christ, you're going to show up at my show. You're going to pay $30 to come see me at a sold out show, have a moment to talk to me one-on-one for just a minute in the hallway before I perform. And instead of saying something like, can't wait to see your show, or like, what are you doing out here? Break a leg, whatever. She's like, you're pretty fat, Tubbs. And then I remember like looking at the opener and his jaw was wide open. His eyes were bugging out. He was like, what? You know? And even the venue owner was like, oh my God. And then I just remember telling her like, I guess thanks. That's a first. That's a really cool thing to say before I start. Enjoy the show. And then I went on stage to introduce the opener and I was like, I have two things to say. One is, I am just so excited to introduce this opening act. He's a great comic from right here in Berlin. His name is Ludwig Beneke. And I'm so grateful for everyone who spent their hard-earned money to be here for this show. And I hope you have a lot of fun and you can let, you know, life's troubles, you know, disappear from your mind for, you know, an hour and a half or so. Second thing is, some lady in the hallway said, hey, you look fatter in real life than you do in your videos. And I was like, and I really hope wherever she is in here that she feels really, really embarrassed. Ladies and gentlemen, Ludwig Beneke. Now, you know, was it the right choice? I don't know. Was it the right thing to do? I don't know. When I was backstage with Ludwig before he went on, he told me I should do that. And you know what? I'm happy I did. I'm happy I did. Because it wasn't like I was mean. It wasn't like I went on stage and was like, where is she? Where is she? Let's start a riot. Let's pick her out and tell her that she's a really bad person. It was just like, hey, you got to know that that's not cool. You know? Like, did it hurt extra that she was pretty? Sure it did. You know? If she, you know, if she had been like some like Sasquatch person, I would have been like, okay, I think we should take a look in the mirror before we start talking about who's a chunker over here, because I accept the chunker lifestyle. I embrace the chunker lifestyle. I'm very open about it, and you know what? It's how I start my show of this tour. I talk about that I'm a big guy and that I've gained some weight because it's funny, man. But it's different when you're like some slender, skinny, pretty woman, and you're like, hey, and you're like, oh, hi, and they're like, what happened to you, tub chunker? Hey, puddin', hey, you puddin' pounder. Hey, sludge slicker. You got enough ice cream back there in the backstage? Blubber butt. Hey, chunkster. They got you a couple of large double XL pizzas back there with some Ben and Jerry's. Blubber butt. She didn't. I have to understand also. I've been living out of the US for a while, which is very beneficial when it comes to seeing that there's a lot of cultures out there. Sorry, Americans. Hate to break the news to you. Tons of different people out there with a lot of different cultures. And sometimes there are just cultures that focus on different things. And that even if they're not being mean, it's just like, you know, like, for example, Germans will be like, you're drinking Coors Light? Why don't you just pee in a cup, you psycho? You know, because for them, Germans is just like, oh, well, you have to follow the German beer law that we've had for, you know, whatever it is, 800 years, 1,000 years, because otherwise you're just drinking spit, my guy. So if you think of it that way, you know, she was Asian, and you know, again, like, I speak stereotypes about Germans, I speak stereotypes about the States, because that's what I'm familiar with. So please, I hope no one that's that is Asian or, you know, connected to any Asian culture takes this the wrong way, because this is what I've heard or understood from other people. It's not something I'm making up. But I have heard that a lot of Asian cultures put a lot of emphasis on being healthy and fit and thin. You know, that's just what I've heard. So, you know, I'm not making that up. So, you know, it is what it is. And even my opener was like, you know what? I don't know if she meant to really hurt your feelings, but it's still, she didn't get that sounds rude. So it's like a double package in the mail. Cause you're like, oh, the first package is,
oh, that's really rude, which can be funny, which I will use to be funny. And the other package is like, oh, I just learned something about a different culture. So I'm learning and I'm making fun of you for, you know, maybe unintentionally coming off awful. But you know what? It is what it is. I'm a big dude. I've gained weight in the last year. I know that, though. You know, I don't see people like making comments on Brennan Lee Mulligan's, videos on dropout TV clips on TikTok. I mean, I feel like I've just basically spoken code to a lot of listeners here. Brennan Lee Mulligan is an extremely talented comedian who, anyway, he's a funny guy and he's gained some weight, but I've noticed it's like something like you watch this person, but like, I don't care if he balloons up to the size of a Goodyear blimp, dude. I couldn't care less as long as his brain is intact and he's not ruining his brain. Like, he's so funny and so smart. And I'm focusing too much on this because it was just the clash of like, oh, I'm in a sold out venue. You have spent 30 euros on this ticket. You have this rare, it sounds like I'm like Taylor Swift when I say this, but like you have a rare opportunity to like have a moment with me in a hallway before I even go on stage. I'm open. Hello. I'm not hiding backstage. I'm here in the hallway. I'm talking to my opener. I'm very happy that you're here. Thanks for buying a ticket. And the only thing you say is like, hey, Chubster, you sure do look more like a dump truck than you do on the TV. Hey, think about your sentences before you say them. Think about sentences. You know what? This is a hot take, everybody. But how about you think about what you're going to say before your blubbering mouth farts it out? Have you guys thought about that? I don't. Maybe that's a hot take. I don't know, but I'm just saying. Because it's like when you, for example, you are walking down the street and you accidentally bump shoulders with someone and maybe you think it's their fault, right? Maybe it is their fault, but you turn around and they have, in the vein of a James Bond villain, they have a scar across one eye and that eyeball is not there anymore. And then the other eyeball is like missing color because maybe they've like been just, so they're like handicapped, right? Scar across one eye, the other one's blind. They have like, I don't know, instead of one arm, it's like an octopus like limb with like these suction cups that keep peeling off of the sidewalk. And, you know, they have like patches of hair and like burn scars across their jaw. Do I think that this lady from the concert would call out their appearance first? I do now. But, you know, most people don't. Most people, if they're, to make it a better example, that one-eyed octopus villain would have to be someone that you're paying a ticket to see in concert. So let's say it's like Justin Bieber and he has a scar, like a pirate scar and an octopus arm, and the other arm has a crutch because one of his feet is basically a spaghetti noodle that was overcooked. If I'm seeing Justin Bieber in concert and he looks like a noodle octopus pirate, I'm not going to be like, hey man, you look a little more octopusy than you do in your videos. I'm going to be like, hey man, love your voice. Love that song. Baby, baby, baby. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, you're Pirate Bieber with your, this is so absurd. You're not going to see Pirate Bieber with his octopus arm and his spaghetti noodle leg and his crutches and be like, you look like garbage. You should be Garbage Bieber. You should garbage bin. You should be, you know what I mean? If you're seeing someone for their talent, who cares, man? Anyway, you can tell that she got to me. You know what? I'm a transparent mofo. She got to me. She got to me. It was a bad thing to say before I performed. If I was in line after I performed and I had felt that the show had gone very well, and then she said, hey, Tubbs, you know, you got a few more LBs on you than it looks like in your videos, I would have been like, thanks for waiting in line. You suck. No, I'm not signing your book. And then I would like rip it. You know what I mean? I would just be like, wow, that's a real, I would just tell her to, if I had just performed and I felt good about it, and then she said it in line at the meet and greet, I would have just been like, you know, I don't know if you get this. Maybe you're kind of slow. That's a really rude thing to say out loud to people. And you should reconsider how you think you talk to people. Maybe I would have done that. In all honesty, I know everyone's just like thinking of the George Costanza thing from Seinfeld, where it's like thinking of the comeback where you're like, hey, the jerk store called. They ran out of you. But I do feel, because to her face in the moment, I was like, wow, that's a thing to like, you know, that's, I think, I guess. And I was like, that's a weird way to start my night. You know, I wasn't intimidated by her. So maybe after the show, I would have been even a bit more blunt. But what a thing to say when you're like, I have just spent money that I worked for, unless it's like inheritance money, which is a whole different thing. But like, if she works at a cafe 40 hours a week, minimum wage, which still in Germany's or in Europe or most of the world, still a lot better than in America. But let's say she's making money, she's paying rent, right? And then she sees the guy she spent $30 on. And she's like, hey, hey, chubber. Your blubber butt's leaking out. Your muffin top's, you know, sneaking out of your sweater there. Pudding boy. Hey, pizza pants. Your salami sweat's dripping on the floor, chipster. You know what I mean? I'm being so much more mean than she was. She did say the word fat. You look a lot fatter than you do in your videos. There's always the excuse of that. You know, maybe she doesn't get that word sucks. That's mean. It's harsh, you know? But what would have been a nice word? What could have possibly been, you know, the thing is, at the end of the day, even if she'd said, you look a lot bigger, what's the goal? What's the end goal? What is the end goal? You can tell she got to me, right? You can tell that I've thought about this for days. What is the end goal? You look bigger, you look chubbier, you look thicker, you look fatter, you look unhealthier, you look rounder than, you know what I mean? What is the motivation there? My question is, what did she think I was going to say? I would love to pick her brain about this. I mean, I'd love to thump her in front of a moving train, but also like what, I don't mean that, but I'd love to pick her brain up with that. What did she think I was going to say? Oh my gosh, really? Thank you so much for telling me. Oh, I just don't have enough honest friends in my life, you know? And myself, honestly, I have body blindness. So even when I look in the mirror, I just see Channing Tatum. And I mean Magic Mike Channing Tatum. I see prime Channing Tatum. So it's just a miracle to have a complete stranger in my life that I bumped into in a hallway before I perform a 65-minute comedy show that I'm nervous to do, that someone can really just tell me the truth, that I'm a big mayonnaise ball of crap, and then I'm going to go out there and try and make you laugh. Hope you have a good show. Thanks so much. What's the goal? It's crazy. Anyway, I spent a lot of time on this hoe. I mean, you can tell it really, scratched me. But for those, I mean, I know people are listening and wondering if maybe I'm actually upset. This makes me feel good. This is my therapy. Going through it and like joking about it makes me feel good. So don't worry. And I've told so many friends about this and they all have commented like, dude, what was this psycho doing telling you this when she bought a ticket to your show and she's there to see you? And then before you go on and you have all this pressure in your brain of doing a good show for her. Yeah, I've already said that. So anyway, so Frankfurt was great. Cologne was great. Hamburg was an interesting start, but ended up being really, really, really great. No complaints. Berlin, interesting venue. I don't know that I would go there again, but the team was really wonderful. And besides this absolute stone cold piece of shit, I genuinely loved the crowd. At the very end, I have this big story in this tour, and there's usually a point about halfway through my show where I feel like got him,
in tougher cities. Like Hamburg, I felt like at that halfway point, I was like, oh, they're just putty in my hands. You know what I mean? And Frankfurt and Cologne, I felt that much earlier, like almost immediately. It was really great. Hamburg was tougher, but then I knew at the halfway point, now we're on the same page, and it was flowing really well. And then Berlin was a bit tougher. I really felt bad for my opening act, Ludwig Beneke, because he's such a funny guy. Please check him out, by the way. His handle online is at Ludwig, like Ludwig, L-U-D-W-I-G, Ludwig Comedy, at Ludwig Comedy. He's great. He's really great. He does comedy in English and in German. And such a nice guy. So nice to meet him and hang out with him. And now that that's done, I have had some time off, like a couple of days here in Munich. And then, yeah, like I said, then I will leave for... Oh, wait, no, wait. Yeah, Hamburg and then Berlin. I was looking at the dates here, and I was like, something looks wrong, but it's all good. Yeah, so I will, as of this recording, do Vienna tomorrow with Kyle van Carven and then Innsbruck. Wish me luck.
Wish me luck. Let's see where that goes.
Who knows? It's not great sales. I would say Innsbruck is like, I mean, you know what's an interesting thing just to tell people, because I think a lot of people don't know this. So the opening act, Ludwig, for the Berlin show, we were talking about the business of doing comedy. Something he learned from us talking was something that I realized, because he didn't know this, because he's a good comic and he's been working a lot, is something I thought people knew, but they don't. And so I was really happy that we could talk about it, because I think this is an important thing to know. Let's say that I'm doing one concert, right? Imagine it's not the tour. Let's just say I'm doing one show. So you have to, I think I've talked about this already, so sorry if I already have, but let's say that I'm doing one show. You have to basically buy the venue. So you have to outright, it's a rental. You have to basically outright up front, before you have any understanding of what the ticket sales will be, you have to rent the venue. And because now I'm doing seated locations, it costs more. That's why last year's tour was smaller and it was standing only, which Vienna and sadly, Switzerland, they both are still standing, because it's just too expensive to get seated places. It's expensive. You have to rent the location. You outright up front say, hey, you need to have a sound guy. You need to have like a venue runner. You need to have people doing the chairs, like da, 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 da. So there's an agreement. There's a contract between the agency, my agency, and this particular venue. And so you rent it. There's an agreed upon cost of the labor and the time, because obviously you have to pay the bills. You got to put electricity, you have the labor costs, you have the, you know, the whatever, you get it. Yeah, so that's like an outright upfront cost. So if I'm doing one show, because I don't want people to think that like if everyone's paying $30 for a ticket that I'm getting $30 a ticket. That is very much not the case. And I wanted to make this clear, because I was surprised that the comedian didn't know this. So that tells me that like the average person who's not in the business definitely doesn't know this. So this is maybe just some insider baseball information for you. I'm doing this tour. So this is how the money is divvied up. Let's say that the venue in Berlin, I think, was like 280 tickets, maybe 250. So the agency rents the venue. We put the tickets up, let's say for like 31 euros or 30 euros. And they have, and the agency that puts up the tickets has a contract through a major ticket distribution organization like Eventim or Ticketmaster, right? Because those are international, like Ticketmaster. Ours are through Eventim. Event, like an event, I am Eventim. So on top of all this, you have a ticket cost. Eventim adds fees.
So you're already asking people to pay more than you'd like as the artist. I don't like Eventim or Ticketmaster. In fact, years ago, I was so impressed. When I was in college, I was really impressed with the fact that Louis C.K., before he got in trouble and all that stuff, and I think he still does it, but like he still doesn't like do the bad thing, but like what he does that I respected was that he was so against the extra crazy fees that Eventim and Ticketmaster charge that he was selling tickets exclusively through his website. And I have downloaded comedy specials of his through his website directly. It's almost like a Patreon site. So it's like, you know, just consumer to creator. And that's great. And he was doing that at such a huge level of fame that was really impressive. Now, here I am, much, 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 much smaller. Eventim is running the ticket sales. So they add a fee. So there's a fee that I don't see at all. From that fee, there's the rest of the ticket, which is just gross, right? So not, but it's before tax. From that, we have basically cut the income of the general ticket. I'm trying to think of the best terminology here. We've basically said, okay, Eventim gets their fee because it's mandatory, unfortunately. From that, let's say the concert sells out. So there's all this money on top that I will never see and I'll never think about again. I'll never hear about it. Then from the tickets that did sell, we have rented the venue, right? So there's a nearly 50% split between if the whole thing sells out, you can basically just put 50% of the money spent by the consumer back to the venue because you've rented it. You've paid for the venue. So that money goes to the venue for the labor costs and for the taxes and for the electricity and the bar license and all that stuff. So now you're at like 50% of gross before tax after the distributor cost. Then from that, the agency that I work with takes 20%. So then from that half, you have 20% taken out. Then from that, then I'm paying taxes, which is, you know, all fine and good. I pay your taxes, everybody. All fine and good. But it's a lot. Sure. Cool. But it's a good city, good infrastructure. I will pay taxes in Germany. You can see the result of it in a lot of countries. Maybe you don't. In America, I don't really see it, but here you see the result of taxes. So boom, pay it. So I'm getting as the creator of the show with the name on the sign, significantly less than 50% of the sales, you know, because I think in Berlin, you look at like, I forgot the math. I think it was like 260 or 280. I think the ticket sale was something like 30 or 31. So that's what? Like what? Over 8,000? Let me just do it here. Let's just do an estimation. So let's say it's 280 times 31. So that's 8,680.
I am not getting that.
I am not getting that. So let's just cut that in half, right? So divided by 2. So you got 4,340. From that, you times 0.20. So minus 4,340. So then you got 3. You got like 3,400. Then you have, I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting as well. But then you have your taxes. Yeah, minus 3,472. Oh, no, I did my math wrong. Crap. It's also like an hour and a half to go. But basically, just for people to know the business, it's, I don't know. I don't know why I felt compelled to just say that at the end here, but it's really, it's not like in Berlin, you have 280 seats at like 31 euros a ticket, and I'm walking away with like nearly 9K. Not at all. So I am grateful for every single ticket that we sell because it really genuinely, you know, it's not like it all goes to me. And that's just how the business is. And that's how this game works. It's just the biz, man. Like, people need to, you know, they have to pay their rent and they have to like get their, they have to get their bag and they have to pay their taxes too. And it's just how it is. And it's just something, it's just interesting for me to learn. And I'm really happy to be transparent about that stuff, because it's also like, I didn't know that Ludwig didn't know that. And the fact that I think he's such a great comic and he didn't know that, I felt like there was a small thing that my dumbass could help teach him about. And the fact that if I can ever teach anybody anything, I don't know, makes me feel good inside. But anyway, look, guys, by the time, yeah, like I've said before many, many times, I will have done Vienna already. I'm going to be in Innsbruck the day of this recording, October 23rd. Get your tickets. Then double show, Munich early show, 25th, 5:30, sold out. Munich 25th, almost sold out the 9:30 show. And then Zurich 27th. So please go have fun. I love you. Bye-bye.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.